Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest headlines. I'm Carl Lengel. It is Monday, the 13th of April, 2026. The U.S. Department of Justice has been asking states for their unredacted voter files, which contain personal information. Montana's Secretary of State maintains she's only released what's publicly available, but state lawmakers are pushing for more answers. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager reports.
Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson adamantly refuted she released unredacted voter files, despite telling the federal government she complied with their request. In an interview with MTPR, Jacobson maintained she withheld sensitive data.
I have not sold anybody's private identifiable information. I have not given private identifiable information.
Montana keeps a redacted voter roll that's publicly available. During a Thursday hearing, state lawmakers asked the secretary's chief legal counsel, Austin James, whether the state released any additional data, like voters' partial Social Security numbers. James did not answer directly, saying the federal government asserted its authority to inspect state records.
And under our extremely high threat of litigation, reserve our statement to that we have complied with both Montana and state law and served our voters, including their privacy, very well.
James noted the federal Justice Department has sued about 30 states trying to obtain their unredacted voter files. Democratic State Senator Laura Smith of Helena voiced her frustration.
I guess I'm just really struggling with why you won't tell us what voter information has been provided to the federal government.
Jacobson was not at the hearing. The federal Justice Department did not respond to MTPR's questions about what Montana provided. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
The Montana Supreme Court heard arguments Friday in a case that could impact how voters pass laws from the ballot box. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy reports.
The state legislature isn't the only body with the constitutional power to make laws in Montana. Its people can, too, through ballot initiatives. The process involves proposing a law, gathering signatures to get it on the ballot, and asking voters if it should be passed during the next election. Now that process is at the heart of a suit before the state Supreme Court. Plaintiffs say a 2023 law passed by legislators puts unconstitutional restrictions on citizen-led initiatives. Those include a new $3,700 fee to file one and a chance for lawmakers to weigh in on a proposal before it can gather signatures. Attorney for the plaintiffs Robert Ferris Olson told justices the state said the fee is intended to discourage frivolous and unserious proposals.
If that's the intent, and that's the words from the state, this law is meant to impair the initiative process, not to facilitate it.
Attorney Dale Schoengert spoke on behalf of business groups in favor of the regulations. He argued the new rules are intended to weed out unserious ballot proposals and avoid bombarding voters.
It's a great power, but it's also a serious one, and I think voter fatigue is a real issue, and I think this is a pretty modest limitation.
Ballot initiatives are playing an increasingly important role in Montana politics. Voters in 2024 passed a constitutional amendment to protect abortion access. This year, proposals to keep judicial races nonpartisan and restrict dark money in politics are gathering signatures to make it on the fall ballot. The justices will now debate the case and issue their opinion. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
A natural history museum in the state's far southeastern corner plans to double its visitorship with an upcoming renovation and expansion. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
The Montana Department of Commerce recently announced an award of $1.25 million to Carter County and its museum in Ekalaka. Museum Executive Director Saber Moore says the money adds to approximately $6 million the Carter County Museum has raised so far for its upcoming expansion.
This grant has made us a shovel ready for the project, so it's happening.
The museum hosts the annual Dino Shindig in July, with lectures and a hunt for fossils. Saber says museum visitorship generates approximately $1 million a year in financial benefits to the region. The museum has been displaying artifacts since 1936. Saber says it's not only the first dinosaur museum in Montana, but also the first county museum in the state.
Generations have grown up going to the Carter County Museum, and it's a real point of pride for people in the entire county.
She says construction will add 15,000 square feet to the museum, almost three times its current footprint. And expansion will include a new multi-purpose planetarium, research library, and lab space, among other improvements. According to the Department of Commerce, the funding for this award comes from the Montana Tourism Development Grant Program, which supports rural communities through the bed tax. Each recipient is eligible to get up to $2.7 million over the grant period. Saber says the museum plans to break ground this fall. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
A Billings judge ordered the state to pay more than $500,000 in attorney's fees for its actions in a lawsuit, one that overturned the state's restrictions on amending birth certificates. Montana Public Radio's Shaylee Ragar reports.
Two transgender residents represented by the ACLU of Montana sued the state in 2021 after it enacted a new rule for updating vital records. It required people to provide proof of gender-affirming surgery in court in order to amend the gender marker on birth certificates and driver's licenses. Amid litigation, Yellowstone District Court Judge Michael Moses held the state in contempt of court for disregarding an order. He ruled the state would pay attorney's fees. An order Friday set those fees at more than $500,000. The state plans to appeal it. Moses ultimately struck down the law as unconstitutional. The state did not appeal that ruling. However, Republicans in the state legislature have passed several more bills that would similarly prevent transgender, non-binary, and intersex Montanans from updating vital documents. In Helena, I'm Shaylee Rager.
A Missoula judge is ordering the state to pay more than $70,000 in attorney's fees. The plaintiff successfully challenged the state's decision to reject a driver's license application from a non-binary teen. Missoula District Court Judge Shane Venata ruled the state violated Montana's constitutional right to equal protection. He ordered the Motor Vehicle Division to issue the plaintiff and future applicants driver's licenses with non-binary designations. Venata ordered the state to cover the ACLU of Montana's fees for working on the case. Montana Department of Justice spokesperson Amanda Brainek says the state will appeal both orders, calling the judge's ruling in the case a flawed decision that, quote, conforms to the left's radical gender ideology, unquote. Construction work around Alberton Gorge will impact access to the Clark Fork River. Montana Department of Transportation will replace the westbound bridge on Interstate 90 near popular put-ins for rivergoers. Access from the Sear Bridge put-in to the Tarkio takeout will be unaffected. Walking access to the Triple Bridges wave and lands between the highway and east bank of the river will be closed through the fall of 2027. Starting today, the MSU Billings parking area near Peaks to Plains Parks at the North Rimrock parking area will be under construction. MSU Billings says in a press release last week that a new sidewalk will stretch an expanse of the existing parking lot. The path will create a safe walking route on the eastern edge of the park. The university advises caution as the driving area between the park and Petro Hall will be narrower. Four ADA spaces that are currently used in that area will be temporarily located to spots that now are limited to shop parking and 15-minute unloading spots. The pay parking spaces on the eastern edge of Peaks to Plains Park will not be available through the duration of the project. Visitors should relocate to paid spots in the lot south of the administration building. Weather permitting, the university says the sidewalks will be ready for use by April 27th. Yellowstone Public Radio and Montana Public Radio are working to share profiles on candidates running for federal office in 2026. Today, a conversation between Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler and Ryan Bussey, Democrat, running for Montana's Western U.S. House seat.
To start off, I'd like to ask, what makes you the most qualified candidate for this job?
Well, thanks so much for having me here. I am running for the Western seat, Montana 1. I feel like this place has made me a better person, and I owe it to this state to pay it back. And I've raised a family here, two boys who I'm very worried about whether they're going to be able to have the same kind of chances that Sarah and I had. I've lived in the Flathead Valley for 31 years. I've helped grow a business there, And I've obviously I run a campaign once, and I want to put what I learned back to work. And so those are the things I think that make me qualified. And I think I, most importantly, I believe that I owe it to the state to pay it back.
What previous experience would you bring to this position in Congress?
I have been a policy advocate. Obviously, I'm a big public lands policy advocate, but also I've been a team builder and a business builder. And I really appreciate bringing people together. I also think it's time that Democrats be a strong advocate, an unabashed advocate for the things that we say are important. I'm a little tired of too many words and not enough action. And on things like universal health care, which I believe the United States is a long time behind just about all other industrialized nations, I think it's time for Democrats to lead on that. And I want to be somebody who does lead. I don't have a lot of patience for inaction. I don't have a lot of patience for the sort of political doublespeak that we've heard so often. I mean, honestly, from both parties, I'm kind of through with that. So I'd like to be a strong advocate for the things that matter.
Now, the federal government shut down over an impasse between Republicans and Democrats over subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. How would you have approached that vote?
I think that that was a good vote to make. In other words, I think the government should have shut down over that. We don't seem to have any problems funding agencies like ICE and DHS, which, by the way, is funded to the tune of $191 billion. $191 billion, that's more than all but 14 militaries on the face of the planet. That's more than the U.S. Marine Corps. And I think it's reprehensible that we can find money to fund that sort of, masked officers in the street, but we can't fund health care and tax credits for American citizens. 77,000 Montanans depend on the ACA for care. So I think it's right to fight for those things, and we should be doing it more of it, not less.
In your conversations with the folks who live in Montana, what is a top priority for constituents in your district?
I haven't had a single event, and I've had a lot of events. I haven't had a single one where healthcare isn't number one for folks. Republicans, independents, Democrats, people are, it's frightening to say this, but they're almost deathly scared of what's going to happen to healthcare, what's going to happen to their family. That's number one. And obviously, housing affordability, housing cost. My two boys, I'm worried about whether they're going to be able to afford a house here. So that's number two, those two things.
Now, the Trump administration made a huge push to downsize the federal government. Are you happy with the results of that effort?
I'm for making government more efficient, but not in that way. We're overworking our federal workforce. We should want our federal workforce to be efficient, but they have to be there for us. They provide services for the constituents. And I run into so many people who can't get correct services. We're not, down in the Big Hole, which is part of the district, we have incredible water quality problems. And have we made that better by increasing the federal workforce there and measuring water quality, doing the sort of nutrient load testing that needs to be done? No, we've made it worse. We pulled federal employees and fisheries biologists and water quality specialists off that. That could have tremendous, unbelievable, deleterious effects for the Big Coal Valley and so many of the businesses that depend on it there. So no, I'm not happy with it. It's been a dark period for lots of folks in this state for the last few months, or a little over a year here. I want you to know that there's help coming, that we can win this thing, that we can do things better than what we've been doing. We don't have to jump into foreign wars. We don't have to make affordability worse. We don't have to shy away from fixing healthcare. Those are choices that we've made, and we can unmake them. And I'm excited to get to work on it and excited to win this campaign. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate yours.
That was Victoria Traxler speaking with Ryan Bussey, running for Western U.S. House seat. These candidate interviews, airing over the next several weeks, will be available also at ypradio.org. I'm Carl Lengel. Thanks for listening to Yellowstone Public Radio. I would like to remind you, we're a local resource for more than 36 communities across our region. We are listener-supported public media. We work for our audiences, not corporate shareholders. YPR programming prioritizes fact-based and evidence-based information and civil discourse. Independent regional journalism is more important now than ever. YPR supports and highlights local and regional arts and culture organizations, and we have informed, enlightened, and entertained three generations of listeners. That's The Worm for this Monday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode. episode for you. Early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.